You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Nerd Overload radio type show, the official show of popular characters website, nerdoverload.com. I'm Cody.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Sam.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all.
And the heart of a champion.
We have the heart of a champion. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
What have we been checking out? We went to Rift Tracks, Doctor Who, The Five Doctors.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
Last night. It was really funny, really good.
It was really good.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I had seen the last half of The Five Doctors, but apparently we went to a late night Grandview showing of that one time.
Probably. That makes, yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, it was the one with the silver spandex guy that jumps around and shoots spears at people.
Nice. Okay.
But it was hilarious. They did a great job. The Rift Tracks guys are always great. We've talked about him on here several times.
Oh, yeah.
But with the added Doctor Who punch, like, it made it super extra good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't understand why it's called The Five Doctors when there's only four are really in it. Baker's in it for about a minute.
Like, literally a scene.
Yeah.
Really?
Where he's, like, one of those guys that, like, basically row boats in the Italian guys. They got the big long poles that push boats around and
gondola
yeah
guys
he that's what he
gondola be, boys
yeah,
that's what they're called
yeah he bees a gondola boat boy for about 2 minutes in the movie.
Okay, well, you know, better than nothing, I guess,
before he gets kidnapped by the floating space napkin.
That sounds like a great episode.
It's full of, like, the cheesiest special effects. It's pretty great.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
And, you know, at least four doctors interacting. Like, Tom Baker doesn't interact with any of the other doctors.
Oh, he doesn't. Oh.
Which is the whole conceit of the whole, like, movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun to see them all playing off each other. I still think Troughton's my favorite of the old ones.
Let's see, Troughton, which one's that? Is that the second one?
Bullcut, yeah.
Bullcut, with the flute?
Yeah.
Bullcut recorder boy.
Okay, yeah.
Although he doesn't play his recorder in this. He just wears a really, really big, poofy fur coat.
That's literally tied on to him.
Yeah. A lot of good jokes about how they're just four old men running around. A lot of good jokes about how Hartnell is not the original one.
Oh, yeah?
Because the original one died.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But it was a great show. It was fun.
Good. We'll just bounce back and forth, I guess. I watched the first two episodes of DuckTales.
Oh,
Woo.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
It was very good. Yeah. I was surprised. Well, not super surprised, because I knew it was going to be pretty good. But it was, yeah, it actually set up some interesting kind of conceits that the original show didn't. Like, you know, the Huey, Dewey, and Louie being the nephews of Donald Duck and, you know, great-nephews of Scrooge McDuck, where's Donald's sister? And they set that up as kind of an overarching mystery.
Yeah,
a little
which is
bit.
Very cool.
That's very cool. That's a thing they never touched on. I like the it's not off-the-wall crazy, but it's definitely a little more action-packed.
Yeah.
And quicker pace than the original cartoon, I guess.
And it's funny.
It's funny. It's really funny. I understand why they cast some of the actors. Like, this show has a lot of really fairly big name actors in it. David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck. Oh, Mrs. Beasley or Beakley was Tox something or other. She's a pretty famous actress. And then the nephews are Danny Pudi, Bobby Moynihan, and who's the I can't think of the third one off the top of my head.
God.
I mean, it would be easy for me to look it up, but I refuse to.
I don't remember.
But the third one is equally as famous,
yeah.
Trust me. The only thing is, especially in the case of the nephews, I think maybe the celebrity casting is a little wasted because they don't sound like the actors. It could just be any random voice actor
really
for them.
Yeah, it really could.
Yeah.
They sound better than they do in the original. I watched the original pilot last night.
Oh, it's rough to get through.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's fun. It's enjoyable. I like it a lot. I like Glomgold, the evil Scrooge McDuck. And I really dig how they've made references already to Darkwing Duck and Goof Troop.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Was that a couple times, was that Roxanne from Goofy movie?
It almost looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like adult Roxanne from Goofy movie. Yeah. I like Launchpad in this. He's just goofy enough.
Yeah.
And just dumb enough. Although, I think if they were going the celebrity stunt casting route, they should have gotten Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
But
I'll be excited to see Lin-Manuel Miranda as
Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Unfortunately, the next episode isn't till like the end of September.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Give it a nice break before.
Yeah. Really ruminate on those mysteries.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Those mysteries and rewrite that history.
You know, the show almost gave me slight Gravity Falls vibes.
Oh, yeah.
a little bit.
That was definitely a big inspiration for it, I think.
Yeah. And I think a tiny part of that might be Emmy Cesariga, who was a storyboard artist on Gravity Falls, is doing the same thing for this.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those sensibilities came in. Plus, you could tell that everyone who was involved in the project had a love for the original show and wanted to do this new one right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that throughout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Okay, your turn.
It's better than the original DuckTales.
It is. It is. Absolutely. I agree.
Oh, Yakuza Kiwami.
Yeah.
I am allowed to give impressions on it.
Okay, what is the impression that you get?
I've never had to knock on wood.
Oh, no.
I'm glad you picked up on that. Very good. Oh, mighty, mighty boss tones.
I've only played maybe an hour or so. Maybe a couple, and it was mostly cutscenes so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely more Yakuza.
Okay, cool.
It's a remake of the first game, which was a PlayStation 2 game. So it's old enough to warrant, you know, going back to it. It uses a lot of the same mechanics as that previous Yakuza 0, which was fantastic.
Okay.
So it's just, like, more of that, which is okay by me.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I'll definitely have a review of it when around the time it comes out.
Okay, right on.
When I'm allowed to. But it's really good. I mean, the map is the same. It's the same Kamurocho as the other game.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't really had time to see what kind of like stuff there is to do in Kamurocho, because there's always a bajillion weird, fun mini games hidden throughout the city, but it hasn't really opened up to me yet.
Okay.
But the combat is still the same beat-em-up style, cool stuff.
Okay, cool. That sounds really interesting. Yeah. I haven't played any of the Yakuza games, but that sounds fun.
Oh, they're great.
From what I've seen, it's like the side quests are almost more fun than the actual, like, storyline.
Yeah, and they're all wacky and weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much like the modern equivalent to Streets of Rage or... Final Fight, like a beat-em-up.
Okay, like a beat-em-up. Okay, very cool.
Mixed with a Japanese Yakuza Mafia soap opera storyline that's pretty over the top.
Okay, very cool.
It's worth getting.
Yeah.
When it comes out. And it's only $30.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Or $39, I don't remember. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
That ballpark.
Yeah, not full price.
There you go, yeah. Speaking of games, I played about 3 or 4 hours of Miitopia, the new 3DS game where you put your little Mii person in, and it's an RPG. It's a full-blown RPG.
I've been wondering if I should pick it up or not.
It's very good, and it looks like it's going to have about 20 to 25 hours worth of game time in, which is pretty standard.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's even funnier when you put custom... Mii's, the whole idea is you can make custom faces for every character in the game, and not just your party, like every character in the game. Every town gets populated, every NPC gets populated by random faces, or it actually ties into an online lobby where it like generates like the most used And so you can, like, I have Guy Fieri as a roving gourmet who gives me random treats every once in a while. And yeah, the iced tea, the king of town. Yeah, no, it's fun to put either your friends or celebrities into these weird situations. And they say stuff like, a lot of the dialogue seems like Tomodachi Life, which is not a game.
Yeah, it's like a neat toy.
It's a neat toy, but it's not a game. This is an actual game, and it has a really interesting, I've never played the Persona games, but I've been hearing a lot about them lately. And there's like an S-Link kind of thing where you like build up your friendship with. Is that something that's part of that game?
Like social link?
This game has that.
Huh.
Yeah. The higher your social link with your party members is, they get like special interrupts. Like if you're up high enough and you take a hit, like one of your party members will come over and say, "Hey, are you okay?" And part of your health comes back. And it's really cute. It's really funny. It's not worth the $40. It's not worth full price. Wait till it's on sale, I think. If it's 30, would have been good. 20 would be great. This is a good, solid $20 game that they're... Unless there's something super amazing at the end that really bumps it up. And like I said, I'm only about 4 or 5 hours into it, so it's like a 3 or 4, I guess. But it's enjoyable. The Nerd Overload crew is my 4-person party.
Nice.
Yeah. Cody, the thief, the rogue.
Nice.
Samantha, the mage. Josh, the warrior. And I am a chef. Because I needed a healer. And the chef is actually like a defensive, like, tank healer.
Nice.
So, yeah. And you get costume unlocks. Like, your... It's an interesting kind of idea where you don't have a standard shop, but when you're in like at the end of each like level, you go to an inn to like heal up and stuff. And they there's a section of the inn. It's really hard to explain where you check to see what each party member wants, and they'll randomly say, "Hey, I want this upgraded shirt, or I want this upgraded weapon," and you pay for it. And there's a slight chance that they can come back with nothing, but most of the time they come back with the weapon or armor. And the armor is like costumes in Tomodachi Life. But once you get it, you can you don't lose the upgraded stats, and you can mix and match whatever you're wearing at any point.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
So you don't lose the customization.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like most games, it has amiibo support, which I'm very happy about. Yeah, so I haven't done anything with it, but it's just costume unlocks, I think, from what I understand. I will say, I wish this game came out a little earlier in the 3DS's lifespan, because let's be real, the 3DS is kind of on its last leg.
Yeah.
And this is a game that really could have done, if it would have come out about 3/4 of the way through instead of, you know, 5/8 or 7/8 of the way through its lifespan, and by this point have been down to $20, it would be cleaning up the Nintendo eShop market. It really would. But where it stands now, I don't know. It's just going to be okay, kind of forgotten.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games that remembered as the last few.
One of the last really, really good ones. It's solid. It's and again, the writing is really well done.
The Treehouse knocks it out of the park again.
They do, yeah.
They're always good at localizing the games.
Yeah.
In a comedic tone.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I don't understand is if they put it out so late on the 3DS, why not put it on the Switch?
Yeah.
I kind of just want it on the Switch. I want all my games on the Switch, so I only have one console. That was the whole point of the Switch, so you have one console to carry around everywhere.
But they've been keeping the 3DS on life support for whatever reason. I don't know. They just don't want to give up that revenue stream.
I guess. You know what? Either poop or get off the pot, Nintendo. I mean, listen, if you wanted to make a home console that you can make portable,
why eat into your own market?
Yeah, why keep your portable? I understand the 3DS is wildly popular and was really kind of their moneymaker during the Wii U phase.
Debacle.
Right? Yeah, but it's time to kind of move on.
I don't think there's any other games announced for it after the Pokemon remakes no one asked for.
Yeah, yeah.
So that might be it.
And again, why is it not on Well, probably because they want the next generation on the Switch. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know. It just seems like they're kind of stepping backwards a little bit with releasing all these games on.
Why are they bothering making a remake version or a sequel to X and Y? Like, nobody wanted it.
Yeah, no one did.
I don't want it. I'm not going to play it.
I'm not either. You know, I'm a huge Pokemon mark, and I'm not going to play it. I don't really need to have an upgraded, super awesome team. I don't care.
I loved whatever it was, Sun and Moon, a mm-hmm. lot, but I have no interest.
Sun and Moon would have been great if they would have finished the game. This upgraded version seems like, it feels like they're just finishing the game that they already had. And I don't know, game developers shouldn't be rewarded for putting out 3/4 of a game with an update later on, or a full price update, essentially, later on down the road. It kind of rings a little false to me, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of updates, I've played a little bit of No Man's Sky since it got a big, huge update.
Oh, is it a game now?
Yeah. It's almost a completely different game now.
Hey, all right.
It's really cool and fun, but I liked it originally, too. But
okay. Still, remind the listener what No Man's Sky is, because it's been a while since we've talked about it.
It's that game everybody got mad about.
Because it wasn't really a game.
Yeah. It's a space exploration type game where you go from procedurally generated planet to planet to explore and find aliens and stuff.
Yeah.
And it takes place in this humongously huge procedurally generated galaxy with other players, and it's so big you probably won't ever see them. And in the original version of the game, you wouldn't ever see them because you couldn't.
Yeah, there was no actual multiplayer.
Yeah, there wasn't any code for that at all. But now there is.
Hey, cool.
Now you can see other players. They're just like floating like points of light.
Ah, okay.
And you can talk to them, and that's about it right now.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, but still it does it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you would want to do with another person in that game anyway. It works so much better as an isolated exploratory experience.
Yeah. After jumping back into it, are there many more of the plants and animals like have been like named by other people because the user base has been around for as long as it has?
I still haven't seen any.
Really? Okay.
But there's a lot more other aliens around. Like when you go to a space station in the original version, there was like one dude on there you could talk to.
Mm.
Now there's like 4 or 5 aliens around you can talk to and do different things with.
Okay.
Apparently there's missions and stuff, but I haven't really gotten far enough to open those up. And you can get in different standings with the different alien races based on doing stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
They added some really nice looking grass.
Ooh, all right. Grass physics. Nice. Yeah. Excellent.
But it's good. It took a game that was already, you know, a good game if you didn't consider what they said it was going to be.
Yeah.
It really seems like they just needed another year to work on it, and Sony made him release it early.
Again, that drives me nuts, putting out 3/4 of a game or half of a game and then saying, oh, we'll fix it later. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like they didn't have a choice.
Sony, yeah, I mean, in this case, they didn't. Yeah. But
Sony
just
said,
we put
all this money into marketing it, you got to put it out now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Still kind of a weird situation, though.
Yeah. And there's different inventory is a little easier to manage because you have different screens for it. You got a technology pocket and a cargo pocket in your inventories. It's good.
Oh, cool. Well, speaking of going back to things that we've previously talked about and mentioned, I went and saw Spider-Man again. Still good, second time through. Knowing the twists and knowing kind of what's coming up doesn't diminish the movie in any way, but it also doesn't add to anything. Like,
you can't be like, now I know why he did that.
Yeah. Like, well, because it's not really there.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to go and look at the Vulture's character and go, oh, okay, I know what this twist is, so let me try to watch and see if they do any tells. They don't really, other than the ones that are very broadly telegraphed. And, you know, and the movie's still out in theaters, so I don't really want to spoil it, because it is a legitimate surprise. The friend I was with was legitimately surprised when that turned up as well.
And it's a great movie.
And it's a good movie. Go see it. Yeah. But
I think the 1-2 punch combination of Wonder Woman and then this movie kind of made Guardians look really middle of the road.
It unfortunately, yeah, it kind of did.
And I really liked Guardians when it came out.
I loved Guardians, but yeah, yeah. Spider-Man and Wonder Woman were both the superior movie for the summer. Although Thor looks like it's going to just blow everything out of the water. I'm so looking forward to that. When is that out anyway?
Again, I don't know.
I have the internet right here. I'm not going to look it up. I don't care.
But I am.
Well, you're a cheater. You're a cheater then. But no, it's Spider-Man. It was good. I think I can't wait to see Spider-Man 2. I can't wait to see these characters pop up in other places. One thing I really cemented for me on the second watching, I like Spider-Man. I like Peter having a foil, someone who knows he's Spider-Man. Yeah. I know a lot of the original comics were about how he is, you know, alone in this. He can't tell anyone that he's Spider-Man, and he's alone in his battle, and he has to keep things being up and positive when he really can't and stuff like that. But having Ned, the friend character, know who he is and be like...
It adds more than it takes away.
It does. It absolutely does. And it makes me curious to see what they do with that character when they eventually get to Spider-Man 3 or 4, like they're going to, and these characters are adults. They can't write them in high school anymore.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with the Ned character? What are they going to do with the Liz character? Although I bet she's probably not going to come back.
Oh, no, we're not going to see her ever again.
Yeah. But what are they going to do with Flash Thompson? Because in the comics, Flash Thompson eventually becomes heroic Venom. Like, after Eddie Brock is like evil Venom, Flash Thompson in the comics goes to war, loses his legs, and becomes a good guy Venom, Agent Venom.
Are they even allowed to use Venom?
Venom is being done by Sony only.
That's a shame.
But it is tied loosely, like the Black Cat Silver Sable movie that we talked about a few months ago or whatever. The Venom movie is set in the Spider-Man Homecoming universe, but can't reference Spider-Man, the Avengers, or anything tied to Spider-Man. But it's in the same universe, so they can use some of the villains and some of the settings and backdrops, but they can't actually say, hey, Spider-Man, where'd you get that black suit? It's going to be like, hey, Eddie Brock, who's never met Peter Parker, here's an alien.
God, it's so dumb.
Yeah, although I guess they could do the Ultimate Spider-Man route where the Venom was actually taken from a blood sample from Peter Parker and mutated. Like, they tried to isolate the spider gene and it turned into a thing. But I don't know.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Comics.
Yeah.
Comics are great and confusing.
Speaking of movies with Michael Keaton in them.
Yes.
I watched The Founder on Netflix.
How is that?
It is fantastic. It's a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Really interesting. Really well acted, of course.
Of course. That's one that I've really kind of wanted to sit down and watch when I get some time.
Yeah, definitely watch it because it's really good.
Yeah. How big of a shyster is Roy Kroc?
Well, pretty bad.
Yeah.
He really.
Start off feeling bad for him, kind of.
Yeah, but then later he goes
slowly turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into a full on, really screwing over those McDonald boys.
Huh. Okay.
They are also fantastic. Nick Offerman's really good.
Okay. Cool.
As Dick McDonald. And who's the guy that plays Mac McDonald? Because he was really good, too.
I know him from the Drew Carey show as Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother. But he was in Fargo. He was in, I can't think of the actor's name. That's kind of a running theme for today's episode.
Yeah,
can't think of things. Could look it up, but I'm not gonna. But he's one of those that kind of actors. Yeah.
He looks so sad. You really see the sadness in his eyes when they're getting, you know, the nails taken to him by Roy Kroc.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie, especially I'm, like, kind of fascinated by McDonald's.
Yeah?
Its existence entirely is fascinating, and the way it's part of such a big part of American culture is just, it's interesting and weird.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, like, a huge McDonald's fan. Like, I don't love the food.
Yeah.
But there's something about it as a concept that is strange and interesting.
Yeah. It's weird. I ate McDonald's for the first time in a long time yesterday. I was running late for something, and I hadn't eaten McDonald's in, like, 6 months. Have you seen those signature burgers?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're not bad. I had the sriracha with spinach and stuff on it.
I forget the one I had, not the one with salsa, because McDonald's salsa sounds not great.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't bad.
How'd they do with the sriracha? Did they put the right amount on?
They put the right amount on. Okay. I'll say that.
I had a sriracha, I think it was a sriracha chicken sandwich from Burger King once, and they just slathered that boy up. And it was really bad. It was like, blow all your sinuses clear. Like, yeah.
See, that's the way I like it, though. I like my spicy foods. So, all right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about some news. We're back. That was Totally Clips of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. We played that because
there's going to be, or it was, I don't know, when is that
Monday? It's Monday afternoon. Okay. It is a total eclipse of the sun, not a heart, but a sun. I guess it's the sun is kind of the heart of the universe or our
galaxy.
Yeah.
Solar system.
Yeah.
That's probably the right word. Probably it's the heart of our solar system.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be awesome. Enjoy it. Don't look directly at it.
Unless you have those special glasses.
Yeah.
Even then, I don't think you're supposed to look, like, directly
at it. Yeah, I refuse to pay $4. I'll just cover my eyes. Although, I'll be honest, I think I might be driving back from work during it, so I might have to invest in some of those special glasses. Or I'll just go blind while I'm driving. Either or, it's cool.
Just look right into it.
Did you see that news article that someone think that, apparently, there's going to be lizard men are going to be appearing during this eclipse.
I think I saw like a blurb about it that it's the beginning of the apocalypse will be the eclipse.
Yeah.
Which, hey, at this point, you know, who knows?
Yeah, let's not get into it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to get into it, but if the apocalypse was coming,
I'd welcome it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Yeah, no, but let's not talk about that. This is a happy show. So first off the docket, let's talk about the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Why not?
It's happening.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
Yeah,
sure. This is interesting. I mean, yeah. There's probably some story in there.
I really hope it's like set in the 30 or 10, 15 years that is where he's just in exile on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Like, give me one good, just set on one planet, Tatooine. Have Obi-Wan like be like murder mystery. Like, Detective Obi-Wan kind of.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff you could do just on Tatooine.
I mean, I'm looking at the news article here. There's not a ton of news about it, but it looks like it is going to be set between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, which it almost have to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want the adventures of teenage Obi-Wan pre-Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Let's not go back that far, please. No.
And you know, I think Ewan McGregor's at the age where they wouldn't have to prosthetic him. They could just have him act at his normal age and be middle-aged Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm in.
He could be dealing with, like, the Hutt cartels and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be really cool. Who knows? Maybe it'll have Easter eggs to the Han Solo movie. Yeah. Maybe back and forth a little bit. Something.
Hopefully. I hope that Han Solo movie is good. I hope these standalone Star Wars movies are good. Yeah. It's not really something we've seen yet.
Well, Disney hasn't given us a reason to be worried yet.
This is true.
Force Awakens was good. Rogue One was good, and everything I've seen come out of Last Jedi seems to be good. Have you seen those porgs?
No.
Oh, man. It's the new, like, Ewok. Let me look it up. You guys talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm gonna show you some porgs.
He was definitely an Obi-Wan, if there ever was one. What? I don't know. I'm filling time.
So these little guys are those, on the last scene in Force Awakens, those little birds. They're not birds. They're little tiny, furby guys.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah, check those out. They're porgs.
It's going to sell a lot of toys.
It's going to sell a ton of toys. And here's the thing. Everyone loves porgs except for Wookiees. For whatever reason, Wookiees do not care for these little bird-like woodland creatures. They're like furry birds, kind of.
Like bird Furbies.
Yeah, they kind of are. They're just bird Furbies, and it's just to sell toys. Absolutely, 100%. But anyway, the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, I'm looking forward to it. I like the character. Why not?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, you're doing a Han Solo, and let's take all the mystery out of... No, I'm being too negative. Let's take all the mystery out of your favorite Star Wars characters now.
Yeah, there is an argument to be made there, honestly. But yeah. As long as they're done well, I'm okay. The minute they stop doing them at a higher quality, if they just start cranking them out.
Oh, that'll be the worst when they make movies about these individual characters that everyone knows and loves and then make them crappy.
Yeah.
That will actually, you know, kind of hurt the character going forward in the franchise.
It will, yeah. Well, look at what it did to Darth Vader. It took the baddest of the bad in the universe and it made him a whiny teenager.
Yeah. It took Rogue One to make him scary again.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, but... They haven't given us any reason to not trust them with this. So, yeah, okay, I'm in.
That's been your baseless Star Wars speculation
segment.
Yeah,
and you know what? Because we're being positive, it means it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Because whatever we say is the opposite.
It's only been a couple movies.
Yeah, true. Very true.
After I talked about Yakuza Kiwami earlier in the show,
sure,
they also... Like, just this morning announced that Yakuza 6 is coming out next year.
Oh, cool.
So, we're getting a pretty steady stream of Yakuza games, which is cool.
That's cool.
Because it used to be really hit or miss whether we would get them or not.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I think they really carved out a niche when Zero came out, and it was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they lost some of it to, I think, what, Resident Evil 6 came out at the same time. But other than that, it really kind of stood out.
Yeah.
Also, Resident Evil 6 was so good. Not 6.
I was going to say, what?
6 was bad. 7 was the one I'm talking about, and 7 was really good.
Okay.
Where's 8, Capcom? You're usually real good about pumping out those sequels until we're sick of them.
They're too busy trying to fix Capcom versus Marvel Infinite. And creating really weird characters for Street Fighter V. I've seen more gameplay of the new Abigail character, and he is the weirdest... He's the weirdest character. His light punch is an anti-air. Like, he goes like, it's just a big backhand. Like, yeah, he's super slow, but if you know what you're doing, he's like unstoppable. He's kind of a broken character. Anyway, but no, Yakuza 6, that sounds great. I've never played any of the other games, but that sounds awesome. See, Atlas, we do talk about your stuff sometimes.
Yeah, thanks for the review code.
Thanks, Atlas. We're going to skip over the next one on the list because I want to come back to it.
That's a good one for the end.
Yeah. So Chuck E. Cheese, they are removing robots from their restaurants.
Chuck E. Cheese. Which is something I thought I'd figured they'd already done, but I guess not. Maybe just a lot of them broke down and they didn't replace them type thing.
That could be. But I don't know. I always thought that was kind of the charm of Chuck E. Cheese is you go see really herky-jerky, like, bad animatronic.
I mean, the only other thing to do is play arcade games that are mostly broken by children.
Yeah, and eat some substandard pizza.
Yeah.
Crawl through some urine-stinking tubes.
Yeah. Oh, but you can get that at any McDonald's Land Play place.
Yeah. But with Five Nights at Freddy's, aren't animatronic pizza mascots more popular than ever now?
You would think.
Or is that why they had to get rid of them, because children are terrified of them?
I bet there's both sides of it. I bet people they're more prevalent in the mind, but also I bet there's someone in a boardroom saying, we can't have these scary things in our wholesome family pizza establishment anymore. So I'm just waiting for the vacuum of animatronic food slinging, you know, animal mascots. I'm waiting for the eventual return of the Showbiz Pizza. Yeah. Heck yeah.
The Rockafire Explosion.
That's a great one. I love the Rockafire Explosion. That's super great. For people who don't know, that's some guy bought, like, the band.
Oh, that's the name of the band.
Oh, that's the name of the band. Pizza. Okay. All right. Well, I love the stage show that they did where he sets the animatronics to, like, it's like they cover, like, rock songs and stuff, like heavy metal and stuff. It's great. Some of those videos on YouTube are awesome.
There's a good documentary about it, too.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Probably Rockafire Explosion.
Yeah, I think it's just Rockafire Explosion. Yeah.
Actually, I think we had a review of it on the website years and years ago.
I don't know if it's still there.
It is. Everything's there. Nerd Overload doesn't forget.
The image links are probably
broken. They're all busted. Yeah. They're all busted. But no, the review's there, so, you know, check that out.
I think you wrote it, Samantha.
I think I did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's go on to...
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. We haven't talked about Pokemon Go in a while.
No, no one has.
Yeah, I guess they released Mewtwo, which is the final of the, like, specialty
legendaries for the first generation.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we didn't talk about it on here, but they also released
all the birds.
Yeah, the three birds through their new raid system, which you need, like if you want a chance to catch one of these legendaries, you need, like, 15 people, other people there with you to whittle down the health on this massive raid monster. And, like, I find it hard to care because it's still propped up by that terrible battle system that is zero fun.
Yeah, I agree. And
it's negative fun.
It is. And no one plays the game. No one does.
Yeah, so you're not going to find those 15 people because, like, yeah, nobody really plays it anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I was actually having a conversation about this at practice the other day. Because two of the guys in the show are they play it pretty regularly, like, are still hooked. And it surprised me. But they were complaining, yeah, about how they would go to a raid spot and there'd be like two people there and the game just doesn't work in the way that it's set now. It just doesn't, there isn't a user base anymore. If they would have had this at the get-go,
oh, it would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome. But at this point, it's too little too late.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is the game of missed opportunity.
Absolutely. The potential was there. The potential was so great in that. And we all had Pokemon Go fever. All of us here.
Oh, yeah, everybody did.
Yeah. But now it's just...
They mishandled it pretty badly.
Yeah, they did. And they're trying to get players back into it between this, and they've started introducing shiny, which are specialty, like, color animals.
Different colored Pokemon. There's a Pikachu that's slightly darker colored. There's a gold Magikarp.
Yeah, and fine, okay.
It's very much a new hat scenario, yeah, except but they've already done that
a couple times. Party hat, and then there was the Ashes hat.
Yeah.
And then your trainer, if you logged on during a certain time, you actually got a Magikarp hat for free. So my guy rocks a hat that looks like my face is coming out of a Magikarp's mouth. Yeah, it's pretty great. But, yeah.
The only way they're going to get people back is if they fix that stinky battle system.
Yeah, and...
And even then, it's not going to be what it was.
Oh, no. So, I don't know. Just kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want it to be exactly the same as
the mainline games.
That doesn't make sense business-wise. I understand why they don't. But at least do something that works and is fun.
Yeah. Oh, while we're talking about Nintendo stuff, the Nintendo World Championships is coming back again this year. Yeah,
after a couple years off there.
Couple years, yeah. It's 2015 or 2014 was the last one. 2015.
Yeah, I think 15.
Yeah.
They're doing it again, and it's not as retro this time.
No, it's Mario Kart 7 is their qualifier on a couple of different tracks, I think is what it is.
Eight. Yeah.
No, it's on the Game Boy. It's on the 3DS, so it's 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's... The qualifiers are on the 3DS, is what I read.
Huh.
So,
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, it is. But they're doing it again, and it's this weekend and next weekend are all the qualifiers. This weekend is the big ones in New York and California, and then some of the smaller venues are going to be the 26th, I believe it is.
Unfortunately, our closest one is the 5-hour drive again.
Yeah.
Not the same place.
No, not the same. Still a Best Buy, but not that same Best Buy. I don't know. I might still make the trip.
I would if I wasn't on another vacation already when it happens.
Yeah. but no, I enjoyed the last one. This one should be a good time as well. If nothing else, just to go out and watch when the championships finally hit, like, Twitch or whatever.
Yeah. And they'll have demos of Mario Odyssey and... Samus Returns.
That's right. Yeah,
so
yeah,
those
will
be cool to get to try, especially Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anything else, that's worth going and checking out. So, yeah, and hey, maybe our friend of the show, Chris Bidwell, BSG2000, maybe he'll be back out there and try it again to get back into the championships.
Maybe. I don't know how big of a Mario Kart guy he is, but I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he's been practicing.
Yeah.
So.
That's what gets me. I don't think I would do as good. I mean, I'm pretty good at Mario Kart, but I don't know if I'm, like, top tier good.
Oh, I know I'm not top tier, but just to say that I was out there, that's reason enough.
Yeah, but the NES Classic thing they did last time.
That was, yeah.
I did fairly well considering.
You did. Yeah, you actually did. I did very poorly, but I'm not good at video games. So, yeah. And if you ever want to see pictures of us when we were out there last time, it was a wet and wild time because we stood in the rain for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
They're all up on our Facebook page. We still have pictures of it, of us from up there. We had video, but it never...
It was bad.
It was bad. We did a bad job. Not gonna lie.
We haven't really done something like that before. It was kind of the first try, and it was not worth using.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe this time. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some video if I go out. Anyway, let's move on to... Let's talk about the less fun thing, and then we'll wrap it up with a fun thing.
Okay.
Sound good? We'll make a happy sandwich.
With crap middle?
Yeah.
We'll make a turd sandwich for you.
We will
here
make
on the
a
show.
McDonald's cheeseburger. No, I'm joking. It was... The burger I had was perfectly adequate the other day. Anyway,
we've been on a tear about talking about fast food on the show.
We have. We must be always hungry when we do this show. That must be it. Okay, so this takes a little bit of setting up. If you've been listening to our show, I almost said watching. If you've been listening to our show for a while, we make reference to Polygon.com quite a bit. They do it's a game news website, although they're starting to branch out into other forms of
at least they were.
Media. They were at some point, and including video. They'd started doing a lot of video content, and one of the major personalities in their video content was a guy named Nick Robinson.
He was like their video producer guy.
He was, yeah. And a lot of his stuff was hilarious. It was, I can't knock that. It was really, really funny.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It was good content, especially the podcast he did with Griffin McElroy, Cool Games Inc.
Mm-hmm. And he did a ton of stuff with Griffin. He did Carboys, which was the Beam NG.drive thing. He did Touch the Skyrim, where they would try to break Elder Scrolls Skyrim, the game.
With various mods.
Yeah. It was really good. And this kind of happened almost like overnight. Like literally like overnight,
yeah.
At one point. It came to light that Nick Robinson had a tendency to make
inappropriate tweets at his fans.
Tweets and
sexually inappropriate.
And not just tweets, but like direct messages.
Yeah.
Like there's a term called sliding into DMs, which is creepy and awful to begin with, but it's basically online harassment.
Yeah. From the looks of things, and I've done a lot of research into the story, because I used to think he was a cool guy.
Yeah, same here.
But he would troll around looking for his fans that were also attractive ladies, and then slide into their DMs.
Try to get nude pictures
and
stuff. And that can't happen.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That is, to put it mildly, that is not cool. It's reprehensible behavior, and unfortunately, it's not uncommon in the games industry and games journalism industry, and it has to stop. That kind of crap has to stop.
I expected so much more out of him as part of the Polygon team, which is a very, you know,
a pro
progressive,
woman. Yes.
Yeah.
Pro-minority, pro, very, very much on that end. And he's getting punished for it. He has been let go from Polygon, so he is no longer employed by that website. But the damage is done. Like, they're having a heck of a time getting their video content back up.
Yeah,
and going.
Has there been any new...
They put up, they did a live stream of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, another one of their awful squad, and Griffin, to his credit... got really serious right at the top of their stream.
Really?
And couldn't get into details on anything, but like laid it out that they're going to continue past this, and for everyone to, you know, respect the parties involved, and it's a tough time for everyone. Their video team seems to be really rocked by it, and they're just having a rough time kind of adjusting to someone who they saw as a coworker and a friend
turn out to be a total creepo.
To be a creepo,
yeah.
Yeah. Again, this is, I'm glad he got called out on it because you can't do that. I don't care how good or popular you are.
Yeah, that's an abuse of your power.
It is.
And just a, even if he wasn't in a position of power, it's still...
It's still awful. See, that's the thing. He put out a big, huge post on Twitter that detailed that, you know, when you get into a... If, you know, I didn't realize I was in such a position of power, and it's something I used to do when I was a nobody, but when it was then, it was... He claimed it was just all in fun, but
he
now
just
that
said
he's...
It was
flirting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're a nobody and you're asking for nudes from randos, that's still creepy, and
yeah,
it's still the wrong thing to do. It's like he's learned the wrong lesson.
He's learned don't get caught.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And he's not going to get hired by anyone.
No, I can't see anybody touching that.
Unless there was a less than reputable games journalism website that wanted to benefit from the controversy.
Yeah. Or like some sort of Gamergate, like, garbage.
Oh, yeah, no, I was following it pretty heavy on that, and the Gamergaters were pretty well split between welcoming him into their fold and also trying to get him to commit suicide, which is a thing that Gamergate does.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would never take it that far, ever, in a million billion years, but as much as I like the guy's content, and as much enjoyment as I got over everything, he got what he deserved, I think.
Yeah.
And
we're saying that he's probably going to start a Patreon and make a bunch of money that way.
I hope not.
And he probably will, because I've also seen a lot of people say, you know, oh, we support you, Nick. You haven't done anything wrong. We're going to unsubscribe from Polygon because of them letting you go. But it's... He screwed up.
Yeah, and I don't think, and we haven't seen everything too.
We never will. Well,
yeah.
No, we will probably 6 months down the road or a year down the road when the heat's died and it doesn't, at that point, doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, we don't need to see anything either.
It's not our business. Yeah, all I need to know is he was secretly a scumbag. He got caught and he got.
No, he is.
He got
not
proper.
Secretly a, he's just a scumbag.
He's just a scumbag now, and he's getting his. Just desserts for it. So,
such a shame too, because I really liked him. I thought he was a really cool guy, and like, you know, I want to do videos like he does someday, type of thing.
Yeah, so that's same here. I think that's why it kind of hit us as much as it did, and why I think we've decided to kind of talk about it on the show a little bit, because yeah, he was an influence on some of the stuff, and when we start doing more video. I mean, that's the kind of content. It was really funny content. It was really good content. And, yeah.
It was such a surprise. It wasn't like the JonTron scenario, like, situation that we talked about.
You knew JonTron was a jerk.
Yeah, you kind of had.
You knew he was not a cool dude.
Yeah, you kind of had a feeling that maybe he was a jerk. So it wasn't as huge of a surprise when he turned out to be a raging racist.
Yeah. Yeah. JonTron was the kind of guy that you could go, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Nick Robinson, I guess in hindsight, all the weird, like, baby talk stuff.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing that kind of threw me a little bit. A lot of some of his DMs were made public, and it was, like, weird baby talk stuff, and that just skeeves me right the hell out.
Yeah.
That's not...
He infantilizes himself.
Which makes me think, okay, his screen name is Babylonian. Maybe it's Babylonian.
Babylonian. We've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, maybe it's been right there the whole time and we just didn't see it. Yeah. Yeah. I joke because it's so weird, you know?
Yeah, it's upset. It's just really upsetting.
It is. It is. And, you know, this is a guy that we've never met. We're probably never going to meet.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't want to meet him now. Yeah, but, you know, he was an influence on us, on our comedy, on our, you know, comedic, especially lately in the past, you know, year or so, I guess. But, yeah.
I'm just glad it wasn't Griffin at this point.
Yeah.
If any of the McElroy brothers end up being anything other than the amazing dudes that they are, I will be very upset. My head will explode.
Yeah, that would not... go well, and it would not go well for a lot of people, especially the fans of the Adventure Zone podcast, because that just wrapped up, and I've just been seeing like the streams of like people like
We've been diving pretty deep into it lately. Mm-hmm. We're all the way to what plot line is it that we're on?
Suffering game.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. That's a really, really good one.
We just hit the beginning of the suffering game.
Yeah. Okay. That's when it really gets like real. But anyway, I don't want to spoil it for you guys. Let's stop talking about sad things. So DC is doing a like magic college comic, right?
Yeah. It's like kind of a Harry Potter inspired magic college comic starring Zatanna.
Cool. I'm in. You were reading off a list before of characters that they're going to be using before the we started recording, yeah. And there's some deep cuts on that. There's Sargon the Sorcerer, who was an old school. He was a Fawcett Comics or a Wiz Comics, so he was from the Captain Marvel area of things. He's in it. There was a Felix Faust, who's an old school Justice League villain, and it looks like they've all been de-aged or like aged up to like college. Because Faust is like 1,000 years old, so yeah. You didn't list it, but it looked like the character Black Alice was there, which is obscure enough, but still kind of a cool character for people who know.
Some original characters,
yeah. And you mentioned that the House of Secrets and the House of
Mystery
are going to be part of this book, which is cool. Those are old school, like the EC comic knockoff books from like way, way, way back.
So if you're into old school magic users, this sounds like the comic for you.
Yeah, it sounds really good. DC's been really doing a lot of good stuff, and a lot of things are going to be spinning out of this Justice League Metal, which I recently read a review of the first issue. I haven't read it yet, but I guess it's not like they don't form KISS. Or like Megadeth or anything like that. No, it's like I was trying to make a heavy metal music joke. It didn't go over. Don't worry about it. I guess it has to do with Hawkman and the magic properties of the nth metal, the stuff that makes his wings fly. And somehow Batman makes robots or armor of the Justice League, and they go nutso or something like that. A very comic book kind of
Ultron.
Yeah,
Batman
makes Ultron. Yeah, that's probably how it was pitched. But it looks like a lot of things are going to be spinning out of that, and this seems to be one of them. And that's cool. I'm in. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, we have reached time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. You can subscribe to our Twitch channel, Nerd Overload Live.
That's right, and we're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back not next week, but the week after. We're all going to be off doing our own thing next week. We're all in reconnaissance. Next week.
Yeah.
We're on assignment, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then,
peace out is the thing that I say at the end.